All right, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast with my special guest, Richie from Boston. This Friday, November 17th, 2017. If you haven't, go check out Richie's new channel. The former channel, Richie from Boston, is back up. Compliments of YouTube, but it is, a dead channel, as you put it, Richie. And the new one, Richie from Boston, Roman numeral 2, is where the action's at, right? Do we still have Richie? Are you still there? Huh. All right. We'll continue on here for a second. So until Richie gets back, let me...
My mistake.
Okay. So the new channel is Richie from Boston, Roman numeral 2. That's where the action's at, right?
I thought that would be fitting, seeing how the Roman Empire is trying to make its comeback. So yeah, Roman numeral 2. That works.
Nice. Yeah. And the former channel, which is not the first channel, which you've talked about before, is back up. That's the I can't think of the
Richie from Boston, and that was the one that was getting 10 million views a month, and that's the one they've basically cybernetically neutered.
Yeah.
So it appears to people that come to that channel that I'm just no longer making videos and I'm no longer commenting because they've taken away that ability, and they're literally making me go to court about it, which I am. So there's that.
Yeah, I wanted to just make a note of that for folks that follow you, because, you know, for folks that comment, for example, I think it's important to note that, like you said, I mean, there are so many funky things that have happened. One of the best videos that you can watch is on the new channel, folks. Go watch RFB is up, ? Which is 52 seconds long, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, I want to dive back in, especially on what I would call the religious sort of aspect of this discussion, because people don't realize. I mean, really, okay, so for the folks, you brought up a good point. Some folks are saying, which is misdirection, that, the same aliens or whatever wrote the Bible, and they, you know, they cleverly put this part of the story in. Well, my first question is, why would you write a story in which you are the villain? I mean, the greatest villain the history of mankind has ever known. That doesn't make any sense, for starters. And then you work in the fashion exactly like you are trying to prevent the ultimate cataclysm that you foreshadowed. That just doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. So I don't buy that. But more importantly, I think, back to Jaron Lanier's book, he makes some very provocative points. This is from chapter 2, titled An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication. And he starts with this. He says, the ideas that I hope will not be locked in, that will not be locked in rest on a philosophical foundation. And it's interesting. If you read Jaron Lanier, he kind of hints at some things. He hints at the fact that the best ideas don't always win in technology. In fact, a lot of times, so the worst ideas make it. MIDI sound technology is one of the biggest examples. And he kind of, you know, rhetorically asks, I wonder why that happens, and leaves it largely to the reader to investigate, which I think is cool. But he writes, the ideas that I hope will not be locked in rest on a philosophical foundation that I sometimes call cybernetic totalism. It applies metaphors from certain strains of computer science to people and the rest of reality. Pragmatic objections to this philosophy are presented. And then this heading, what do you do when the techies are crazier than the Luddites? Which I think is a great little aphorism, really. The singularity is an apocalyptic idea originally proposed, and this will be enlightening, I think, for some folks, originally proposed by John von Neumann, one of the inventors of digital computation, and elucidated by figures such as Werner Vinge and Ray Kurzweil. There are many versions of the fantasy of the singularity. Here's the one Marvin Minsky, who some will recall as was Ray Kurzweil's mentor and teacher at MIT, used to tell over the dinner table in the early 1980s. One day soon, remember, this is the early 1980s. One day soon, maybe 20 or 30 years into the 21st century, imagine that, computers and robots will be able to construct copies of themselves. And this concept, I wanted to mention as we kind of go through this, this gets back to what we were talking about last night in relation to Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary, Obsolete. People say, yeah, but why would they do that? You know, you get rid of your consumer base if you're doing what they're talking about doing. Well, here's the reason for that. Listen carefully. And then you incorporate the spiritual aspect that we're talking about, and you hopefully understand, you connect the dots. So the way that the scenario goes, one day soon, 20, 30 years into the 21st century, computers or robots will be able to construct copies of themselves, and these copies will be a little better than the originals because of intelligent software. The second generation of robots will then make a third, but it will take less time. Moore's Law. Because of the improvements over the first generation, the process will repeat. Successive generations will be even smarter and will appear even faster. People might think they're in control until one day, one fine day, the rate of robot improvement ramps up so quickly that super intelligent robots will suddenly rule the earth. In some versions of the story, the robots are imagined to be microscopic. We hear about swarming nanobots that DARPA has been working on for over a decade, forming a gray goo that eats the earth, or else the internet itself comes alive and rallies all the net-connected machines into an army to control the affairs of the planet. Humans might then enjoy immortality with virtual reality because the global brain would be so huge that it would be absolutely easy, a no-brainer, if you will, for it to host all our consciousness for eternity. The difference between, but here's the punchline of this passage. So he talks about the, he mentions the singularity. The coming singularity is a popular belief in the Society of Technologists. Singularity books are as common in computer science departments as rapture images are in evangelical bookstore. And a provocative insight for the listener who wants to investigate is that those concepts emerged around the same time. The rapture concept is relatively new, about as new as the singularity. I leave it to you to investigate. The difference, Lanier continues, skipping ahead, the difference between sanity and fanaticism is found in how well the believer can avoid confusing consequential differences in timing. If you believe the rapture is imminent, and listen, this is why none of these devices are built for our benefit. If you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease in others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. And that's precisely how those people operate, how they think. In the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead for the grand events it will bring. But in either case, the rest of the world would never know if you had been right. Technology working well to improve the human condition is detectable, and you can see that possibility portrayed in optimistic sci-fi like Star Trek. The singularity, however, would involve people dying in the flesh and being uploaded into a computer and remaining conscious, or simply being annihilated in an imperceptible instant for a new superconsciousness to take over the earth. The rapture and the singularity share one thing in common. They can never be verified by the living. That's a provocative insight, I would say.
That's
what do you think?
That's a bold statement. Because as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, all these people are basing this, they don't believe in religion, but they're putting all their faith into scientism. You know, we'll upload your consciousness. Trust us. We just have to kill you first.
Exactly.
I mean, what could go wrong?
It's the craziest thing.
Go ahead.
Now they operate in religious fashion, like you're saying. They act and talk like they're irreligious. They say, a lot of them say, I'm atheist, agnostic, or whatever, but they operate on a religious basis, whether they realize it or not.
Without a doubt, without a doubt, it has become, hands down, probably one of the biggest religions being forced on humanity, whether people realize it or not. And they've done it in, as they always do, in an insidious fashion, where they have people, children, everyone's addicted to technology. Leave the house without your cell phone, and people panic.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how they've done this.
Absolutely. Just a little bit more, and then I'll stop, because I think it's relative to the discussion. This section, titled "You Need Culture to Even Perceive Information Technology." So continuing, Jaron Lanier writes, ever more extreme claims are routinely promoted in the new digital climate. Bits are presented as if they were alive, while humans are transient fragments. Real people must have left all those anonymous comments on blogs and video clips, but who knows where they are now or if they're dead. The digital hive is growing at the expense of individuality. Kevin Kelly says that we don't need authors anymore, that all the ideas of the world, all the fragments that used to be assembled into coherent books by identifiable authors can be combined into one single global book. Wired editor Chris Anderson proposes that science should no longer seek theories that scientists can understand, because the digital cloud will understand them better anyway. Anti-human rhetoric is fascinating in the same way that self-destruction is fascinating. It offends us, but we cannot look away. The anti-human approach to computation is one of the most baseless ideas in human history. A computer isn't even there unless a person experiences it. There will be a warm mass of patterned silicon with electricity coursing through it, but the bits don't mean anything without a cultured person to interpret them. This is not solipsism. You can believe that your mind makes up the world, but a bullet will still kill you. A virtual bullet, however, doesn't even exist unless there is a person to recognize it, to recognize it as a representation of a bullet. Guns are real in a way that computers are not, I would say, i.e. the Matrix. Continuing just a little bit further, making people obsolete so that computers seem more advanced is the title of this. Many of today's Silicon Valley intellectuals seem to have embraced what used to be speculations as certainties. Without the spirit of unbounded curiosity that originally gave rise to them, ideas that were once tucked away in the obscure world of artificial intelligence labs have gone mainstream in tech culture. The first tenet of this new culture is that all of reality, including humans, is one big information system. The IoT now, right? The Internet of Things. Everything will be chipped. I remember, just parenthetically, the IBM Smarter Planet initiative 10 years ago, they were talking about growing chips in carrots so that the carrot could tell the driver how fresh it was. Thanksgiving about 10 years ago. But as you say, Richie, I digress. So continuing, that doesn't mean we are condemned to a meaningless existence. Instead, there's a new kind of manifest destiny that provides us with a mission to accomplish. The meaning of life, in this view, is making the digital system we call reality function at ever higher levels of description. People pretend to know what levels of description means, but I doubt anyone really does. An increasingly common extension of this notion is that the net as a whole is or soon will be a higher level than a brain. This is what Michio Kaku is running around telling everybody. So to the point here, bridging the gap, Richie, and then I wonder what your thoughts are. Basically, this is what we're being conditioned to believe. You know, the way that he puts it, real people must have left these anonymous comments or whatever, but the digital hive is growing at the expense of individuality. And so that's what we're subtly and imperceptibly being deceived into believing, that this thing, this hive mind, is better and you know, it's that whole collectivist mindset for the greater good. We're all going to basically die off nonsense. But really, we're building these machines precisely, like you said, to as a gateway, this silicon thing for a disembodied spirit, a demon, to inhabit.
And they don't make, they don't really hide that. If you listen to these guys speak, the guys that come up, Jordy Rose, Haig Ferris, the guys that came up with the D-Wave, the quantum computer, they explain this to you all the time. We're going to, they straight up say it. They're not alluding to it. We're going to other dimensionals. We're gathering resources and we're bringing them back. They're basically ferrying back and forth and speaking to the dead. As far as we know, you know what I'm saying? They're not hiding this whatsoever at all. And common, I shouldn't say that. Regular people, regular working people that aren't aware of any of this at all they see on their end is, do I have cell phone service? Can I text and download a video at the same time, which is the promise of 5G that's being erected around everyone right now, like a radioactive prison cell that you can't see.
Exactly.
It just keeps moving forward and forward and forward. And when you look at the very, very basis of it, when you go all the way down to the very bottom, it's just a cosmic battle between good and evil. And I'd even go as far to say it's between God and Satan. And these people are getting their information from fallen angels. And they're literally, people say to me all the time, demons are already here. I understand that. The goal that these people that we're talking about, the goal that they have is to bring these demonic entities, these fallen angels, these Nephilim, whatever you want to call them, bring them into our physical reality.
Yeah, and that's to kind of, absolutely, to build on that or flesh that out, the difference, those who say, you know, demons are here, they've always been here, sure, but like Jesus, well, you know, Genesis 6, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. But what's the difference? There's something that happened in Genesis 6 that is a marked departure in history, and even Jesus speaks to that in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what is that distinction? And that's kind of, just not to get into the specifics, but that's what we're talking about. And they want, in simple terms, it's a way to conquer the earth. You see in Genesis 11, for example, what I would call the beginnings of masonry, these people who build a monumental tower with bricks and mortar. And who does that? And who wants to make a name for themselves that will endure throughout all the ages? Who does that? But these guys want to rule the earth. The Bible talks about that throughout Psalms, for example, that these people name things, building streets, towns after themselves. Why? Because they call themselves the kings of the earth. They're the earth dwellers. And you see the height of animosity that I think you're talking to, Richie, in places like Psalm 2 that begins with the words, "Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And that is a terrifying prospect, because God's response is, "He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them." It's a terrifying prospect. These people think that they have any kind of shot of doing something in this cartoon that they've cooked up. Well, they've been fed, I should say. Indeed. Unfortunately.
Indeed.
Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Richie from Boston, right after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. Joined by my special guest, Richie from Boston, again. We're talking about the implications of AI, the singularity, machine learning, and all of that kind of nonsense that really has emerged as a religion. Science is religion, and technocracy, which incorporates all of this stuff, because these guys envision sort of usurping God and living forever, downloading their consciousness into their laptop, because information has no mass and therefore escapes the boundaries of mass. But there's more to the story. Ultimately, it just comes down to the fact that they try to play God. And, you know, even Alan Turing spoke to that, as I mentioned from Jaron Lanier's book, You're Not a Gadget Manifesto. I was thinking during the break, Richie, that I watched Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary Obsolete again last night in preparation for this broadcast. And it's astonishing, the conditioning and the videos that you've made lately are really kind of a validation of the points that they raised in the documentary.
Well, it's excuse me. It's funny, when that documentary came out, it was phenomenal. I purchased that when it came on Amazon originally. I believe you can get Obsolete for free on the internet right now.
Yeah, on their channel, I think, still.
When I watched that, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I mean, we're only talking a year and a half ago. You didn't hear things like universal basic income. And then suddenly it started popping up everywhere. They're starting to have roundtable groups. They're starting to look into it. It's showing up in finance, technology, all sorts of different magazines.
Yep.
Universal basic income, like you were mentioning last night, has been done before. It's being done right now. They call the projects for a reason.
Exactly.
When you give humans money with nothing to do other than live every day, it doesn't go well. People need to have a purpose. And when you take away the, you know, when you take away the creator or creation, it goes south even quicker, in my estimation. You know what I'm saying? They've done
no doubt about it. The old adage, idle hands are the devil's playground, comes to mind.
Couldn't be any truer. Couldn't be any truer. Let me read this to you real quick from the this is from a website called The Edge. It's called, in the history of organized religion, it's often been the case that people have been disempowered precisely to serve what has been perceived to be the needs of some deity or another, where in fact what they were doing was supporting an elite class that was the priesthood for that deity. That looks an awful lot like the new digital economy to me, where you have quote-unquote natural language translators and everyone else who contributes to the corpora that allows the data schemes to operate, contributing to the fortunes of whoever runs the computers. You're saying, well, but they'll be helping the AI, not us. They're helping the AI. It reminds me of somebody saying, oh, build these pyramids in the service of this deity, and exactly. On the ground, it's in the service of the elite. It's an economic effect of a new idea. The new idea of AI is a lot like the economic effect of the old idea, religion. This comes on the tail of an interview that they did with Jaron Lanier. And they are actively convincing untold amounts of people to follow them down this route of scientism, which is a means to an end. And it all ends with the same old adversary, the same old great deception, in my estimation. And
absolutely,
all the information that we get that's so spectacular, so conspiratorial, comes directly from their paperwork, from their
exactly
websites. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that, again, is just complete validation for the Bible. And as we see it playing out, who could have foreseen these things thousands of years ago in such vivid detail as it's unfolding? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back.
A video camera converts the picture into a television.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 17, 2017. I hope it is as informative for you as it is for me. Joined by my special guest, Richie from Boston. Again, go check out his latest YouTube channel, Richie from Boston, Roman numeral 2, and see all the videos that he's made just in the last couple of weeks that are on the topical line of what we're discussing. A couple of points to your what you said in the last segment, Richie. I would say, first of all, people always ask, you know, you raise the point. I mean, it's this massive deception, and all of these people are what I would call conscripted to it. And so people ask, they always ask, how could you conscript so many people to such an evil or at least worthless cause? And I usually say, behold, the Great Wall. I mean, there's evidence all around us. It happens. You know, people are gullible. Like Bernays used to say, people are stupid. But when you can deceive people on the scale that guys like Bernays did, I think that point is slightly misleading at the very least. On the subject of the UBI and all of that nonsense, everything that goes with it at all, I suppose. Ecclesiastes 3:22 comes to mind. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, except for Jesus, obviously, God in flesh. Solomon said, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot, for who will bring him to see what will occur after him? So for the wisest man who ever lived to say that really kind of speaks to the point that you made about how, you know, as I put it, paraphrasing, idle hands are the devil's playground. This is what happens when, like you said, people are paid to sit around and do nothing. So it's not surprising when bad things happen. And then
just on the 3rd of September in 2017, Fortune magazine ran this exact article about a team of economists conclude in a new research that implementing a guaranteed income of $1,000 a month for all Americans would accelerate the U.S. economic growth. They're talking about this all the time. This isn't some pie in the sky thing. And like I said, a year ago, it was basically unheard of until Aaron and Melissa put that video obsolete out. And now it's everywhere.
Yep. And all the big guys are talking about it. You know, all of Silicon Valley is saying, you know, what a great idea.
And Zuckerberg's right in the mix because he's the one that gets it out to the masses. He's the one that puts the memes out.
Exactly.
Used to it. Boiling the frog, as it were.
Yep. Yep. And it's a total psyop. For those who don't know, which gets back to the other point. Speaking of these psyops, you know, again, Jesus, Matthew 24, this, you know, where he talks about as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. He prefaces that whole sermon, if you will, with the words, see to it that no one misleads you. In other words, be proactive in avoiding or preventing deception. And he keeps referring back to that sort of concept, basically encouraging us to remain vigilant and stay watchful, therefore be on the alert, you know, and that kind of that concept. 2 Thessalonians 2, that strong delusion, but really, I always come back to Hebrews 5:14, where the writer of Hebrews says, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, because of practice, have our senses trained to discern good and evil. And I appreciate you sharing your discernment with me and the audience today, Richie, because, you know, like you've said, you have done an inordinate amount of research into this stuff. I mean, you obviously speak to your disgust of having to go through it in some of the videos that you make. But, you know, you got to have source material, so to speak. This is what they're saying. This is what they're doing. And it's as disgusting as it is, you know, you're slogging through it.
And it's true. It's I've never I had a live stream last week. I had Nicholson 1968 on, and he's one of the first people that I've ever met that brought transhumanism to the table, to the point people were just laughing. They were like, this guy's out of his mind. This is totally ridiculous. I had him on last week, and he said that he was taken aback by the speed at which it suddenly come out on every single solitary platform, songs, music, radios, movies, television shows, every social platform, every tech magazine, finance magazines, it's everywhere. This is the direction they're pushing everyone in, and most people don't even realize what the end is. They don't see what this all – they don't get it. You know what I mean? It just amazes me.
Yep. It is – it's unbelievable. And then you have these conferences where they're meeting to talk about what they're – you know, what the future of – determining the future of killer robots and – you know, the Boston Dynamics video that they published yesterday of Atlas, the new Atlas video of it, it looks like a parkour robot. It does, at the end of their video, it does a little backflip. It's unbelievable, but I think you're right. I think there's going to be what I would call in simple terms, I think there's going to be a handoff, basically. Artificial intelligence is not the end game. The end game is demonic overrun, in my opinion, just like Genesis chapter 6 shows us. And so there will be a handoff. I think Jaron Lanier points it out. This what is the point of an artificial intelligence that doesn't really exist unless there's a person there to validate its existence? And so, like you said, it's these disembodied spirits or demons. You know, I forget exactly how you phrased it, but basically that's what man has been conscripted to, building these silicon bodies essentially for demons. And that's the real end game. So I see a handoff coming, kind of like you were talking about with, you know, at the end of hour one, you know, Sophia doesn't make sense. It's not as advanced as we're told. And everybody's kind of catching on to that, even the mainstream folks. I think there will be a handoff coming soon.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that these things are nothing more than the setup. They've got, I'm going to guess, this is pure conjecture, but I'm going to guess they've got underground bases with thousands of these, a la Westworld. I'm not sure if you've seen that show, but it basically shows what their intent is. These things are ready. The Large Hadron Collider's job basically is to tear into another dimension and use quantum computers to stabilize the tear in the veil, so to speak, to allow a superhighway of fallen entities to come right back onto this earth in physicality. And I think that these AI robots, or the robots themselves, are the vessels that these demonic spirits will be poured into. And people will not see this coming until it's too late.
Exactly. I was in my notes, my preparation notes for today's broadcast, I was actually going to grab some excerpts from the book that Alice Bailey is, how does Wikipedia put that? I forget. Credited to Alice Bailey is how it's put. Works containing the prefatory extract from a statement by the Tibetan, generally taken to indicate the book was received work. So for those who may not know, The Externalization of the Hierarchy is one of the books Alice Bailey, who took over for Helena Blavatsky. It was called Lucifer Trust originally. Obviously, the public didn't like that, so the name was changed to Lucius Trust. That the logo was strikingly similar to Barack Obama's first presidential campaign logo, but I digress, as you would say, Richie. So the book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, is a book that was a received work, as it is put, from Alice Bailey's spirit guide, the Tibetan, which is demon, and it was one of those books that she received with, you know, in a trance-like state while her eyes were doing that REM flutter thing, and she's just writing, for those who don't know, which is absolutely creepy, should creep everyone out. But in it, she talked about exactly what, well, whatever, whoever it was, you know, whatever she received work it was, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, talks about exactly what Richie just said, for those who don't know. Pardon?
Dejwa Cool. That was her spirit.
Exactly. Guy. Yeah. Yeah. And so this tear, like you said, the rent is exactly what that book talks about. And it wasn't the only book, but it was one of the big ones that talked about the disturbance, you know, the disturbance in the force, so to speak. But it talks about the concept of war being used to shake things up as a pretext to causing this tear. And so I wanted to know if you, speaking of all of this, we got a couple of calls. We should probably go to the phones, but I was hoping that you could speak to, you've done a lot of research into that kind of stuff, the CERN stuff and the interdimensional stuff. Do you want to talk about that at all, or should we go to the phones?
Well, one of the reasons that my channel kind of got so popular is about a year and a half ago, there was a video that came out that showed a bunch of people wearing cloaks in front of the statue of Shiva on the grounds of CERN. And everybody just, oh, that's just it's CGI, it's fake. And I went with it. And I literally forced CERN to have to answer and say that those weren't college students. Those were actual scientists from CERN in the middle of the night doing a mock human ritual that's the stuff that they put out. So we're supposed to think that they're just doing science when they're in the middle of the night. Their own scientists, their security card carrying scientists are doing mock human sacrifice rituals in the middle of the night. So that's my tie to CERN. That's where the Richie from Boston found dead meme came from, I believe.
Yeah. And
yeah, let's grab the phones.
He did a video on that, and yeah, Open Conspiracy, H.G. Wells, and, you know, last year National Geographic put out the Secret Society's cover and all that stuff. It's, you know, they're flaunting it sort of now. Yeah, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Glenn in Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, too much time has left. Are you familiar with the scriptural quotation, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick"?
Absolutely.
Okay, and with the wounds of a friend are faithful.
Wound, my friend.
You lost your audience 50 minutes ago, and you didn't know it. You know, I mean, you guys had an. I listened to you guys do this for an hour last night on Stat Miller's program. I listened for the first hour, you know, knowing the second hour. If you want to lecture like Vince Finale, then lecture. If you want to take calls like Mike Rivera, then take calls. But, you know, attention span-wise, you know, you're getting too many items dumped out of the bag. You take the bag off your shoulder and you dump all this stuff out on the table. And then people, you know, think of ideas that they might want to address or call in about. And then, you know, and I probably have considerably more tolerance and attention span for this sort of thing than a lot of your listeners. I mean, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If you have an idea and you think, oh, I'd like to call in about that, you know, you guys droned on 2¾ hours counting last night, and you're just now getting the calls. And I'm like, what's the use? You know, so
fair
I mean,
point.
If you don't believe me, broach this topic with John Statmiller. He knows the radio game, or Mike Rivera. You know, I had a list of salient pertinent comments, but so much water has gone under the dam and over the bridge, under the bridge and over the dam since then. It's practically pointless. So, I mean, you might have a handful of devotee chat room people hung in there, but I'm not quite sure, you know, how many listeners you retained after all this time has elapsed. I'll call you back and catch you on another day, but pretty much the opportunity for what I wanted to interject is long gone. So, anyway.
Well, I apologize, Glenn.
All right. It's an interesting topic. It's enjoyed, you know, listening to Rich, but... You know, you guys would have been better off having a couple beers and chatting about this stuff for 4 or 5 hours or something, you know. But if you want to integrate the callers, then you got to go to them. All right, man.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I apologize again. And it is a big deal. It's something that we've talked about off air quite a bit, the board op and I. And so I just saw the message recently. My apologies, Glenn.
It is difficult because it's a very complicated web that's all coming together. So it is a
absolutely.
Lot of at once. I do understand his concern.
I agree. And, you know, I understand Glenn's point, but at the same time, it is a lot of subject matter. Glenn is one of the folks, and, you know, I don't know, maybe it's this broadcast, this network that lends itself to folks who say, yeah, I know all of that. Which is fine, but unwashed masses, so to speak, most don't have all the pieces. Glenn is fairly unique, I would say, in that sense. But anyway, let's go back to the phones.
I do understand what he's saying. I do get it.
I agree. Let's grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it. Both of you, hello. I understand what Glenn's saying, but at the same time, for the people that aren't as well informed, you're bringing them along at light speed, and that's what's become necessary. You know, the you and Richie, and I would include myself, are validating one another, because Richie, whether or not you know it, a lot of the videos that you're posting, I'm coming across at the same time you are, and Chris and I have talked, and we're doing the same thing. So it's almost like, out of the billions of videos on YouTube, there's, you know, a dozen or 100 people that are seeing the same thing. With regards to the singularity and the currencies, you know, I think that these technocrats have literally lost control of the box, Pandora's box that they've opened up, because a few years ago, you remember, it was, we're all afraid of the Amaro. They're going to introduce the Amaro. Then it was SDRs. Then right. Russia came out with their own global currency. And now we're talking about cryptocurrency. They've lost control. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You may be exactly right. Like I said, we had a live stream the other day, and it does seem like that they may have opened the box too wide, and now they can't close it because it seems like everything is spilling out at the exact same time.
Exactly, well, which gets back to... which gets back to your point, John, about, you know, it's all happening all at once. So what do you do, you know?
Well, here's the thing. We're being shown this semi-human-looking Sophia and her brother, whoever the male robot is, and they look like us, which basically all they are is a up-to-date 2017 Disney Hall of the Presidents automaton that has got a computer program that's able to speak what's already predetermined for them. The questions are outlined. They're not answering right. them out of the blue. And I think what we're seeing is a incremental way to get people to accept it. Richie and both of you, I think, are right that somewhere they're making a bunch of these creatures that are just waiting to be vessels for fallen spirits, for demons, for the remnants of the flood that are without bodies. They've got to have a body to inhabit. But I don't think they're going to look anything like Sophia or the dude. I think they're going to be so outrageous that it's going to be literally a mech army indwelled by the devil himself and his demons, that when they come up, people are going to, they're going to have their diapers changed. Men's hearts will fail for fear.
Oh, exactly.
They said it at the same time.
Yep. Exactly.
Go ahead.
We've seen hinting at that. You know, the killer robots, remember the Terminator NPR article and the other more recently, but also we've heard, you know, hey, when machine learning takes over design, they might not look like people, they might be different. So we've heard of both aspects of that hinted at, absolutely.
And it sounds like three Christians that are falling into science technology movies. But look, for every truth, I've said this for 20 years, for every truth that God of heaven has, Satan has mimicked and reversed it and completely been the antithesis of the truth. He's not able to create life, flesh and blood, and put a spirit in a body and promise to take you if you accept his way out. Satan can't do that, but he can use technology and science and lying signs and wonders. The Bible says, Richie, we're changed by the renewing of our mind. What are they saying? We'll give you a new body. We will upload your mind. So you'll be changed by the surrendering of your mind and the changing of your body. The exact opposite. Give us your mind. We'll give you a body. You'll live forever. You won't face judgment. And it's not going to happen, folks. It can't happen. God won't allow it. It's just that cut and dried. With that, I don't want to stay on. I'll make room for someone else. Richie, keep it up, man.
I'll try. Well said. Well said.
Don't quit, man. Have a warrior mentality. Don't quit it. Take care.
Absolutely.
Right on it, Chris.
Yeah. A few moments remaining. We'll go back to the phones here real quick. William in Montana, welcome. Thanks for calling.
Good day. You don't have to apologize for anything. I have been sitting here in rapt attention. One of the powers of RBN is that all the different programs have different formats. Sometimes you really have to dig deep into things, and that takes time. It's not a staccato like da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, sometimes it goes on, and when you start trying to connect these dots, the dots become infinitely finer. That's part of the deception. And so sometimes you just have to get into it. And if you've done your homework, you need to report what you found. So So sometimes, you know, things just have to get deep. Sometimes they just have to become complex. And, you know, that takes time. So I want to thank you for this program.
You bet. And thanks for your point, William. I agree. I mean, obviously, my only lament was, you know, Glenn is, he's somebody who's pretty knowledged up, and for him to wait, I understand his point, and that was an oversight. I'll say that's an oversight on my part. And so the board op said, "Are you seeing calls?" I said, "No," and we took calls, and you know, so I understand why Glenn's upset. But
there's always another day, and absolutely. You know, we're not going to, you know, when you go in and try to clean out the swamp, it's going to be a messy process.
Yeah,
it's not going to be flowing. Things are just going to have to back up sometimes, and you just have to do your best, shovel as fast as you can. So, again, keep up the good work, both you and Richie. Thank you.
Thanks, William. Appreciate it. Back to the phones real quick, remaining moments. Let's grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Fred. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, Glenn had a good point, and John always has a good point. And I could go on for 15 minutes with accolades about you. You are my number one, along with Eric the Screamer Jones. he chose, both of you. You're one's one. But you do everything that I personally like what you do and what I want you to do, but just a little bit of suggestion, you know, don't alter things too much drastically, but maybe take a few more callers, just a little bit. You don't have to swing way the other direction. Other words, I think you're great. I think you're fabulous. Anyhow, I've yapped on enough. Have a great day, both of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I agree with him, Chris. I think we might have lost him, or his mic disconnected, but I mean, we've only got a couple of seconds left anyways, correct? The callers had great points of view, but again, I do apologize for the amount and directions that we went in. But again, everything is coming at us from so many various directions. Trying to string it all together in just 2 hours is pretty difficult. So,
unbelievable.
Chris holds it together pretty well.
I appreciate that. I got cut off there somehow. Something happened. Technology not cooperating. Anyway, Richie, I appreciate it. Thank you for
anytime,
what you do.
Chris.
Thank you for coming on this broadcast. Folks, go check out the new and improved YouTube channel. Haha, Richie from Boston, Roman numeral 2, as Richie would say.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.